welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're here with The Blank Canvas with four young artists. I still call you young. I'm not being patronizing. I'm sorry. It's just at my age, everyone seems young. So, like, it's really just a reflection on how old I am. And we heard from Spurgeonique Morley and Enoe Harris-Smith, who are both teachers, and have a show coming up at Dungalik Studios on Friday night. But on Thursday night, there's another show, which is already open, but the party and the fun part is tomorrow night on Thursday night at Hillside House. And that exhibition is called In 2020, and it's curated by Jody Minnis, who we have here in the studio, and one of the participating artists, Averia Wright, is also here. So we're going to hear from Jody first. Why did you want to curate this show? Who's in it?
I
can read the list, but hey, you do it.
So the show is a part of an ongoing exhibition series called 4-5, where we mm-hmm. bring four artists or five artists together to just bring together contemporary Bahamian art practices to sort of contextualize them, promote visibility, collaboration, and document their practices as well. I think it was important to do this exhibition now, seeing as it's a new decade. And who's in it is Piaget Moss, Matthew Ramming, Avia Wright, Edrin Simonet, and Andrew Weech.
So before we get to Averia, mm-hmm. we're going to get to you, Averia. Tell me a little bit about how you selected. Did you just select the artists? Did you select the work? Why did you want to put those artists together? And tell us a little bit about the people who can't speak for their work, like what the visitor might see and why you were attracted to it.
So each participant I had a different relationship with. What I wanted to do was to bring five artists who came from like different spaces that I've watched in the past, like 5 years that I've been like really active in the community. So Piaget and I went to COB, which was then COB, together.
I know, right? That's going to date you. It's like me saying Patelco, right? I say Patelco and everyone's like, man, she old. One day you're going to be like COB and everyone's going to be like, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I watched her, I watched like the formative years of her practice, and mm-hmm. I've seen her grow as an artist, and I've always been interested in her work. So in the show, she has a two-dimensional piece. It's like the biggest piece in the show. It's a black and white portrait of two women reclining, and it's like really beautiful and very minimalist Piaget.
Yeah, it was very aesthetic. Beautiful. I was surprised though, because you know, last time I'd really looked at her work, she was doing a lot of like little collage, right?
Small.
So
it's
kind of mm-hmm. small pieces. So it looks like she's kind of again expanded in size, but also in scope.
And she hasn't shown in a while as well. So I thought that it was important to like force her to. like literally hounded
well
down.
Again, I think we all have the same problem, right? Which is why I don't, because I'm not an artist, but mm-hmm. I have it in other areas. There's things I should be doing that I'm not doing, so I'm working. So it's hard to, but specifically for artists, because again, you know, everyone's caught up in the grind, and it's like, how do you commit yourself to your practice?
So. Right. And then we have Matthew, who is really new on the scene. He's really fresh, but he's amazing and energetic, and he has such a brilliant mind. And I've also watched him like transition from two-dimensional works to now starting this budding ceramics practice, which
and performance
because we did performance as well together. So he has two installation pieces and one ceramic vase there, which is an amalgamation of sisal and sand and sponge and cement and all of these different things. I really enjoy his use of material, and when I thought about him and who I would connect or who he reminds me of, in a way, I thought of Averia. Mm-hmm. Just like their ambitious approach to material and using it, and how you could take like these natural things and bring them into the gallery space, mm-hmm. and then they become.
It's going to be really interesting to see how he develops too. Now he's going away
to
school.
Yes, definitely.
Because again, like everything is very Bahamian, right, mm-hmm. and kind of available around town. Right. So, and I remember Heino spoke about that. Like when he went to grad school in Rotterdam, he was like, the streets were so clean. There was because that's he had worked like mm-hmm. with stuff he picked up on the road, literally, mm-hmm. and it kind of forced him to. You know, he started dealing with videos. It'll be interesting to see like how Matthew copes with that, because it was interesting to watch Averia, who's right here, so she can talk for herself. Because again, you know, you went away and you kind of were still dealing with this Bahamianness and with the materials, but you kind of took it to another, like you started getting bronze in there. And so why don't you tell us a little bit, since you're here, about what you've got on show? Because it sort of expands from the NE9. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it expands from NE9 and my thesis at Ohio University. The first thing I want to talk about is definitely material, because you spoke about that just now. For me, I in my first year, I was kind of still questioning what my practice was going to be about. So after the first semester of the first year, I was kind of like, okay, this is kind of what I want to do. And but then, of course, the material wasn't there. So I was told by my professors to curate material and bring it back with me for the next semester. So it helped a lot to have kind of like this review with them, that I was able to have this conversation, and they were like, it sounds very curatorial right now. We want to basically see the work. So I had to go home, and I was curating the material that I would carry back with me. So Matthew, if you're listening, please go ahead and do so now. You don't have to.
Bahamian's always toting.
Got stuff together now. Even if you don't need it, just having the stuff in your studio can inspire what the work is.
Well, that's really funny too, because Anina speaks to that, right? Mm-hmm. And even though she's, again, like dealing with other themes, you know, she speaks to like just, again, she had a work in We Suffer to Remain, which was based on this coconut, like this tiny little coconut that she'd been carrying around as sort of a talisman, and how that became an artwork. So it's really interesting how we're tied so much to country and we're tied to material. And I think we're tied in a different way to a lot of other places because it's so specific, and because it's so insular, and because, you know, we're so rooted to that. Because, you know, I mean, you wouldn't really expect Swiss artists to use cuckoo clocks or something, you know, or chocolate or whatever Swiss. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's I find it a really interesting part, and I think it's sort of what makes it unique.
And Edrin's work does that too, because he has like the mass that he made out of sand and the corals and like the limestone stuff as well. And then Drew, who is in New York right now, his work is like different ads that he found in like of NASA and Exuma, and he's like plants that he took pictures of while he was here, and then he went to New York and then made the work. So
so it's kind of also like about transplantation and moving and getting back to your work, Avery, so you've got this kind of mask thing. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, so
it's a straw. It's like, describe it. You can describe it. I don't need to describe it.
The mask is essentially made of straw, and I used the construction of a straw hat to kind of start it, and then I made the mask of the straw as well. But what I did differently was I used the raffia.
And now, are you making these? Are you actually like plaiting these things?
I'm not plaiting,
or you're having
I'm
someone else? Okay,
so you are definitely putting things together and axing, adding things and taking things away. So I had the raffia that I carried with me. I had them crocheted, and so I used that as kind of like a chain link for the mask, kind of like tying into the idea of armor, which I was using before with the piece from NE9.
You had that breastplate. You basically, she'd cast a breastplate that had been made out of straw. And in fact, you'd made a whole, like, uniform out of straw and done a performance in it, where it was kind of almost like a medieval knight's armor in a way. But but was also, I think, probably very constricting and weird to be inside.
So these things came together in the studio over time. So I was dealing with the armor piece, but I was also making like a full armor suit. So, but things break off, or like I don't use it for something because the work is already done. And adding extra things really wasn't necessary. But the mask and the headpiece turned into a full costume piece that I used in Aruba for Caribbean Links 5. And I performed that piece more so for photographs. And I did it in two spaces, in Calle Grande, which is kind of like Bay Street in Aruba. And then I did it in Rancho, which is kind of like Baintown, Grantstown. Okay, so I wanted to kind of like show the disparity between the two spaces, or like how different they were. Essentially, talking about tourism and turning myself into a souvenir.
Mm-hmm.
The piece on it says your country name, and I always talk about being in the straw market or growing up in the straw industry, and how we basically we sell souvenirs from different countries within the region. And I think a lot of people find issues with that. And for me, it's all really, really interesting because we are dealing with kind of like same subject matter and selling tourism as an escapism or this identity of, you know, primitiveness, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to show the work, the souvenir in the two spaces to show how in Rancho, the souvenir would kind of be discarded. Maybe the maker lives there and it's sort of like along the street side or whatever. And then in Bay Street, it would be more more sexualized or just like for speculation or to be a spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like persuading the visitor or the person looking at it to feel a particular type of way.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, Jody actually wanted just the mask for this exhibition, which changes the entire conversation about what the piece was.
Mm-hmm.
And Jody is the person that kind of like, when I was away at school, obviously because I was in Ohio, the audience is a very specific audience. And so I had found a few friends that I would send work to get different feedback or criticism from.
Mm-hmm.
Basically so that I could have a more balanced or idea of where I need to go and what I need to go mm-hmm. To mm-hmm. revisit or mm-hmm. so forth. And so she saw these works, you know, in the process. So the headpiece now becomes tying this idea of what is Junkanoo and also still hints those things that I was talking about previously, but I think it changes the context of what it is.
It's very also really interesting. It just came to me just right now when you said it that, you know, I remember when we did the On Mass show and John Beadle made some work and we were talking about Junkanoo and how, you know, in the past your face was covered. But mm-hmm. now your face is exposed mm-hmm. because you want to perform and you want to be known and you want to be identified, but your face is covered again. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like this, you know, back and forth between, mm-hmm. you know, the roots and the exposure and protection and all those different things.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then you also have the video, which I hadn't seen before. I've seen another video performance work that you've done where you're like walking with your like super heavy bronze basket, mm-hmm. Which was great. But this one you're like filling one of them full of sand,
yes.
right? And then you're like walking into this, looks like a freezing cold lake. I was just like, oh man. Was that work that you'd done also in Ohio? Because
yes,
it didn't look like Bahamas.
It was definitely not the Bahamas. Yeah. It was at, so the place that this happened is called Stroud's Run Beach. If you've seen the video, and most Bohemians or
would look
Bohemians
at that and be like,
"Beach? Not a beach.
Yeah, it's so not a beach." Listen, it's like in my daughter's at school in Toronto, and they call that thing by the lake a beach, and
exactly.
we're just like, "Oh my god!"
So this work is called
Dirty Brown
Beach Series. So mm-hmm. I did this in Ohio, and I did it again in Luray, Virginia, and then mm-hmm. I also did it again in Nova, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, the first time I did it, it was me experimenting with performance, and I showed the experimentation piece to Jody, and then I mm-hmm. kind of like formalized it again when I was doing my thesis. But it was kind of like these familiar objects that I'm, and myself, tying myself to this space or this place, and trying to, I guess, question what is a beach, you know, mm-hmm. Like, and then how the perception of what beach is so different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
By placing myself in that environment, placing myself into the water, I'm reclaiming what a beach is, or kind of like trying to tie myself to this place, mm-hmm. or forcing myself to tie myself to this place, and then I'm leaving the basket of sand in there. So kind of mm-hmm. like creating this artifact in this space.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. of myself, or the other two spaces are where I have family in mm-hmm. the States, so I wanted to do it kind of like for them
mm-hmm.
because they are going through the process of, like, when I go to visit them and I talk in Bahamian dialect, their like expression is almost like they want to cry, like they're like,
yeah, of course,
I haven't heard
that
in forever.
Course, yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
so
of course.
It's like I do it, like I intentionally do it
yeah,
for
of course,
them,
of
you know,
because
it's tying
like
yourself,
a warm feeling, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So at the time I had done that, the first time, it was summertime, so it was fine.
But the next time you were like,
when it came up to thesis time, it was when like springtime, so after the winter, and I was waiting for it to start to get warm again.
I was
going to
say, that was supposed to be spring. That time, doesn't look like spring to me, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Time was running out, and I was like, you know what? I have to do this, and it was crazy. I think it changed the whole piece that I had to do this in the cold. Like, it was already a very different topography. But adding the cold to it just threw me on a whole nother situation.
Okay, so we've only got 4 minutes, which is long but not that long. But I want to ask, it's interesting to me that all of these performances took place not here. Mm-hmm. Do you think you would feel as free or to do that? Would you go to Baintown and do that?
Would you go to
Bay Street and do that?
I would.
Okay. All right.
I was inquiring when I came back from Aruba if I could do it somewhere in the straw market because I wanted to put myself on an empty stall somewhere and kind of perform the piece.
Oh, my God, that would be great.
But the thing is, but the piece was still in Aruba. So it's here now. So it's a potential for me to do it here.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just wondering whether it was like not being here. Because again, like being here, one of the negative qualities about being on a small island is that there's no escape, right? And there's no escape from eyes.
But I think
that's
why the mask
is
important.
Yeah.
Because it helps.
You know, and again, I mean, that's why I love traveling. It's because I can be anonymous. Mm-hmm. Oh, anonymity is something so precious to me now because really here it's like, it's really hard to be anonymous. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that becomes very wearing. Mm-hmm. And I think for everybody, you know, like everywhere you go, someone's watching you, someone knows you, someone reports back, you know, even if you're not doing anything special. And it becomes really, again, very wearing. So I found that very interesting that, like, these performances, which are, again, they're avant-garde, they're weird, you know, people are going to be like, hey, what are you doing? You know, it might have been easier to do it somewhere else. Yeah. But good to know that you might want to do one here. Yeah, I'm feeling a performance project coming on. Anyway, we don't have that much longer. We've only got 3 minutes, so quickly we're going to do the housekeeping. Or not the housekeeping. So we've been talking to Avery Wright, who was talking about her practice. She's one of the artists in the show In 2020, curated by Jody Minnis, who we heard from as well. And those artists are Avria, Piaget Moss, Matthew Raming, Edrin Simonet, and Andrew Drew Weech. That is at Hillside House, which is Antonius Roberts' studio and gallery on Cumberland Street. It's on the right side of the road if you're going down Cumberland. And Cumberland is the one when you're at Government House and you come over Blue Hill Road and you go down. It's right there. It's a beautiful space. The space itself is a work of art and kind of part of Antonius's practice of sort of creating spaces for ourselves and reclaiming spaces. It's got a beautiful front garden right on the street. It's a lovely place to go hang out. So aside from just wanting to get in touch with artists and appreciate people in our community, it's just a really nice space to go hang out. So I would say, definitely tomorrow night between 6 and 9, go to Hillside House on Cumberland Street. And then you're going to be so excited by all the stuff happening in our community and by all these amazing young artists. You're going to be like, hey, tomorrow night I can go to Dungalik and I can see Spurgeonique and NOA at their show. So those are the two shows. One of them is In 2020 at Hillside House on Cumberland Street between 6 and 9 tomorrow night. And then on Friday night at Dungalik, also between 6 and 9, the show Identity. So yes, go on out and see those shows. And I want to thank everyone for coming in tonight. Thank you. Always great to have you in. Always good to have the energy flowing. And then, of course, like I said, if you want to go back and listen to the show again or listen to other shows, you can go to our website, www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas. You can listen to the Blank Canvas show again. You can listen to former shows again. So if we're having bad weather, you can just like go and spend a day listening to, you know, all of the artists from our community talking. You can also go to our calendar, see what's upcoming. As I said, this Sunday, we have our fourth Sundays. The NAGB is always free every Sunday. Every single Sunday of the year, it is free between noon and 5, which are opening hours on Sunday. But on the fourth Sundays of every month, we have these free tour guides as well. So it's a great thing with a church group to go do, family outing, anything like that. We also have our film series upcoming next week on the 30th. So go to the website, check out what movie is on and what time that starts, because it depends when the sun's setting. And then actually also on the 1st of February, on Saturday the 1st, we have a portfolio workshop. And that's for teens. So any teens interested in putting their portfolio together, if they're applying maybe to college or they just want to, you know, learn about how to do that, We have educators come in to teach. Are you one of the educators? Jody Minnis. Jody Minnis is one of our educators. I should have known that. I think it's Jody and Tessa, right? Tessa Whitehead coming in to work with teens on putting their portfolios together. So, and that is at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. So check it out and we'll see you there. So you've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening, and have a great night.